1 through 14. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to heaven? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward the heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord.
Today's gospel is from Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave a place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Well, we made it. We made it through Lent and through Easter, and here we are. As a community, we gathered through the season of Lent, and we worship together, and we walk this journey with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. And then, last Sunday, we got to experience the joy of the resurrection. So now what? On the other side of Easter, I'm not sure that I'm really ready to move on yet. Besides myself being sick during Holy Week and Easter, I feel like I didn't really get to linger in the joy of Easter like I usually do. I want to linger there a bit longer, in the shock and the surprise of the resurrection, in the disorienting delight that the disciples found out that Easter morning that Jesus had arisen. Now, during Lent, we made our way through the Gospel of Mark, a fast-paced gospel, emphasizing Jesus as a servant, as a regular guy with whom God did many incredible things. But now the reading today from Acts is actually a gospel reading. Yeah, it's the Gospel of Acts. Have you heard of it? It's actually a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. And it's the only account where it actually takes us beyond the resurrection for quite a bit longer and asks that question, so now what? What do we do now? What do we do now that Jesus has been raised? What do we do now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and so have we? What do we do with that? What do we do with Jesus' liberation and our own? Jesus tells the disciples to stay put in Jerusalem, and they ask a really good question. What are you going to do now, Jesus? Are you going to restore Israel? What are you going to do now? And Jesus says, it's not about me, it's about you. This is your work now. Jesus says, get ready, because the Holy Spirit is going to fill you up and send you out to do amazing things. So before Jesus flies off into the wild blue yonder, he passes that baton to the disciples. And Jesus said, it's not about me, it's about God working in you. So get ready. Jesus says, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will give you all that you need to be witnesses in this world. But the thing is, Jesus does not make a request. He's not asking us to be witnesses. He's telling us. He says, you will be witnesses. Get ready, he says, because you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is not a request. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Witnesses to what, really? Witnesses to the whole thing, to the witnesses to what God has done and is still doing. Jesus is clearing away the post-resurrection fog and essentially says, snap out of it and get ready. Once a while ago, we thought that God was somewhere way out there, something untouchable, unseeable, unknowable. And then God came with skin on in the form of Jesus, and we woke up. We woke up to the source of joy and life and forgiveness and joy. And now Jesus says, you can't just hold on to that. We need to be witnesses to the world. Part of me wants to say, really, Jesus, can't you stick around for just a little bit longer? I mean, we're just starting to get a handle on all that you've done here, all that God has done through your life, through all those miracles, through all the healings. We're just starting to get to know you again. We're getting used to the idea of having you around again, of touching you and walking with you and being with you. We're not ready to cut the umbilical cord quite yet. Not so swiftly, anyway. Like a child being weaned from its mother's milk, the disciples aren't quite ready for this either. They like the familiarity, the comfort of having Jesus, their leader, around. But that's just not part of the plan. Jesus says, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness to what you have seen and heard and have come to believe? Can I get a witness that you will tell others things that make no logical sense, but that God has done? Just when their feet had begun to rest from their long journey and they had shaken the dust off their sandals, Jesus says, don't get too comfortable. Get ready to go on another journey. Now, as witnesses to the resurrection, we may feel equipped, ready to go out there, to tell the world about the joy of the resurrection, to witness to the world. But there also might be part of us inside that says, I don't know how to do that. I'm not so sure I have the words to say, or I don't know what to do with that. How do we be witnesses in this world? Well, many of you may be familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a Lutheran pastor, a German, who lived a very interesting life during the time in Germany where the Nazis were occupying that land. He wrestled with the question of how to be a witness in this world as a Christian when there was so much oppression and evil in that country targeting the Jews. He wrestled with it. As he continued to study, he moved throughout Europe into New York, and he wrestled with that question of how he could be a witness to this world. That wrestling eventually drew him back to Germany, where he stood against the powers of evil, where he stood against it, and he paid with his own life. From his jail cell before he passed away, there was a poem that he wrote called Who Am I? The poem starts out by talking about how people perceived him as being this powerful and content and very peaceful prisoner who treated his prison guards with respect. He said others saw him as friendly and confident in his witness as a Christian. But then he went on to say, "Who am I really? Who I am one person today and tomorrow another. Am I a hypocrite before others? And yet I feel weak. Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, I am thine." As a witness to the resurrection, we may not have all the right words to say or know exactly how God is leading us, but we too are witnesses to the resurrection. Even with uncertainty or lack of confidence, the resurrection speaks for itself, and through the Holy Spirit, we too are sent out to be witnesses. Now, just like us, I think the disciples were all over the place after the resurrection. They didn't know what it meant to be sent out. Some days, I think they're like us, raring to go, ready to be sent out into the world and to tell the good news. Other days, we probably want to crawl back in that tomb with Jesus, safe, secure, kind of away from the pressures of this life. But some of us find that this glorious moment is too good to pass by. We want to revel in Easter just a bit longer. But Jesus says, get ready to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, because you have work to do. Can we just stay in Easter a bit longer? Last Sunday on Easter morning, Pastor Chris asked the question repeatedly, do you want to see the glory of God or don't you? And you answered,
yes.
Yeah, of course. And I'm guessing we're still at that place. Of course we want to see the glory of God. Who wouldn't? But Jesus says that it's not the glory of Easter morning in which our relationship with God will continue. Jesus said it's far more expansive than that. We probably want to roll around in the Easter glitter, get fat off chocolate Easter eggs, and leftover ham for another week or two, right? Jesus says, yeah, that's okay, but be ready, because we have work to do. Jesus hands that baton to us, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit to run that race. So put on your tennis shoes and get ready to run, because we have work to do. Jesus is not going to spoon feed us forever, because this journey has been about getting prepared, for getting fueled up for the task ahead of us, a task we are sent out to do together. So Jesus says, can I get a witness?
Yes.
Come on, can I get a witness?
Yes.
Yeah. We are being sent out to proclaim that Jesus was liberated from the tomb and that God also will liberate you and I and this entire world from forces visible and invisible that choke us, that keep us from living this abundant life that Jesus came to provide us. Have you seen the glory of God?
Yes.
Then preach it with me. Do you want to see liberation in this world?
Yes.
Then let's get to it. We have a lot of ground to cover if we are to get to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we're going to start right now. Do y'all see the arrows on the carpet that I put down? What direction are the arrows heading? What was that? We're heading out? That's right. Are you with me?
Yes.
And we've got lots of work to do. Amen.